Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 241, the stanzas 1, 3, and 7. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. And what follows, Psalter 241, the stanzas 1, 3, and 7. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 28, the verses 16 through 20. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Tony and Dita Liefting, who may commemorate their 25th wedding anniversary today. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day, and then the doors of thy house have been opened by renewal, and then limited numbers have come up to thy house, Lord. And may that be our burden, may that be our sorrow, and may that be our sin, and may that be our guilt. For thou continuest to speak over the whole earth, also in this province, where the fire still continues to spread. And then there is much spoken of the virus, but, O Lord, and may it please thee by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that there may be more thought and more spoken of our sins, and that there may be a crying unto thee, and when under thy judgments, when we can remain the same, continue from week to week, and never come into guilt, and when there is no repentance, and a true crying unto thee, the living God, then surely it is a judgment in the judgment, but, Lord, and may it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit in these dark and solemn times upon us and our children, that the judgments may be used for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Then we may acknowledge thee for the many blessings in the midst of all the trials of life, which thou still showers upon us and our children. Then we may thank thee for the showers which thou hast given and are given upon the thirsty earth. Wilt thou grant a humble heart to acknowledge thee therefore, and when we may see the showers, that our thoughts may be led upwards, and with a prayer that it may please thee, that thou may send those plentiful showers of thy Holy Spirit upon us and our dear children. Lord, may it now please thee to gather richly with us in thy house, and wherein this morning hour, where not only the audible gospel hopes to be proclaimed, but also the visible gospel hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation, with the sacrament of holy baptism, Lord. Then thou knowest how these parents, how they have spent the week, and how they have come up to thy house. Oh, may they have bent their knees and fervently begged of thee, that thou may be mindful of them and their children. Then thou hast been so good in the past, where thou wast spared life, where thou wast given life, where thou wast entrusted unto them by renewal in their married life, with such a precious little gift, a well-born little son, Lord. Wilt thou then grant that broken and humble heart, and now in this morning hour, then they may have the privilege in a special way to present their little one unto thee, to receive thy thrice holy name upon their forehead, to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. Ah, Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou do for those little ones of what is signified therein, and that is to be washed and cleansed from all our sins in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt thou remember these fathers and mothers with the oath which they hope to make before thee, in the midst of the family circles, in the midst of the congregation, and who is sufficient unto these things. But, oh Lord, wilt thou help them, and may they be granted as those in the scriptures, that by the arms of faith and prayer, that they may bring their children unto thee. Lord, wilt thou fulfill the promise that thou wilt pour out thy spirit upon our seed and thy blessing upon our offspring? Oh, wilt thou keep us and our children from the evils and the temptations of the times where they are so manifold? Wilt thou remember the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their blessing and with their responsibility? We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them? Wilt thou remember the barren ones amongst us? Lord, and may it please thee to bless thy word in this morning hour for the conversion of sinners, but also for the instruction, the edification of thy children. And may the sacrament of holy baptism, and may it be used for the strengthening of their faith. Lord, remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wilt thou remember all of our blessings then thou was granted in the past week, that a young couple were united together in holy matrimony. It is the first Lord's Day in their married life, and may it be a special and an unforgettable Lord's Day. May thy word be blessed to the saving of their souls. Ah, may they be found as beggars at the throne of grace. Then in this day, then a father and mother in the midst of their family circle, then they may remember and commemorate a special milestone, a word thou was spared for 25 years of married life, ah, Lord. Wilt thou grant a broken and a humble heart together in the midst of the family circle? Wilt thou continue to watch over them? Oh, help them through the time, above all safe and never dying souls. Lord, we commend unto thee all the mourning ones. Wilt thou remember all the elderly ones, our Bethesda, with those that care for them, those that are bound to their home, those that may still go in and out. Wilt thou remember all the sick and afflicted ones under the physician's care in special ways. Remember the crosses and the burdens. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee, oh, may our eyes be upon thee, and may our help truly be from the Lord who hath made heaven and earth. And may it please thee to grant strength, to strengthen out of Zion, and to send help from the sanctuary. Wilt thou open thy precious word and wilt thou open our lips, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou remember those who may be in thy house, who may also witness the sacrament, but all, Lord, then the greatest number is bound to their dwellings. Ah, do not forget them. Grant them also a blessing in their homes. Lord, may our eyes be upon thee. And, Lord, then we have to confess that we have absolutely nothing to plead upon, but we have heard of one who has declared that all power is given unto him in heaven and upon earth, and who has promised for his church, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. May that then be experienced in these solemn times, and also in this morning hour, in a special way. Ah, Lord, wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We shall now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us, that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2 verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith, and therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, that thou will be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without tear before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. We now ask the parents to arise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you were thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power, what is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation? Father Groenendijk, Mother Groenendijk, Father Vandenbroek, and Mother Vandenbroek. Parents, when you may stand in God's house in this morning hour, then you have many reasons to be humbled under the goodness of the Lord. And I hope a word the Lord has given unto you by renewal in your married life, as such a precious little gift, that there have been times, and may the Lord also grant that humility in this morning hour, and also in the time to come, where the Lord has spared life, where he has given life, I hope that there may be those times, that you may be given to sprinkle your little sons, your children, with your tears, on the one hand because of the Lord's goodness, and on the other hand a solemn impression that you have been the means to bring this little child into this world, and that is a child that is conceived and born in sin. And now the sacrament of holy baptism Then it is a sacrament of deep uncovering, because the water parents tells us that we and our children are unclean. Job said in Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean? And I read of Adam in Genesis 5, verse 3, when he bore a son, that it was not a son in God's image, but that it was a son after his image. But now, parents, now the sacrament of holy baptism, it is not only a sacrament of deep uncovering, but it is a sacrament of great mercy. Because then the Lord, in a special way, in this hour, with the administration of the sacrament of holy baptism, then the Lord is declaring that there is a way for us and our children to be cleansed from all our sins, as the water cleanses our bodies from filth. So the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses his people from all their sins, parents, then with that baptismal fount, then it does not only declare the possibility, but it declares in this morning that the Lord shall remember his covenant, that the Lord is still gathering a church, and to that end, may you be given many times to do, as we read of those parents in Matthew 19, that they have brought their little children, and they have brought them unto Jesus, that he would lay his hands upon them, and that he would bless them. The sacrament, it is a sacrament of great responsibility, then parents. Then by renewal you have made your oath. May the Lord grant us help, and may you be given to beg of the Lord for wisdom, discretion, patience, and understanding. To be given to beg that the simple word, that it may be blessed, that the Lord would take early possession of the hearts of your little children. It is a sacrament of separation when we may receive the Lord's thrice holy name upon our forehead. Then we are separated from the multitudes in the world. Then it is also a sacrament of examination, because parents, when you may present your little child, and when you may see the fount, and when you may behold the water sprinkled, then father and mother also do well and to examine whether we have received the things signified. May the Lord remember your thoughts shall also multiply. Wherefore the two mothers, their family circle is elsewhere, perhaps listening along, may the Lord uphold. Grandparents, great-grandparents, then a great privilege in this morning, but also a great responsibility, when you may witness that of your seed, that they may receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, may the prayers be multiplied. And congregation, then by renewal, when the sacrament of holy baptism may be administered, it is under solemn, under different circumstances, and nevertheless it may still be administered. To that end, may it be accompanied by the precious application of the Holy Spirit. Have a few needy sinners come up in this morning hour so black, of people that have tried to wash themselves, and it seems they are only becoming blacker, more impossible. Then it has pleased the King to institute the sacraments that the faith of his people may be strengthened. May it be granted in this morning for a soul when they may look upon that water sprinkled, that by an eye of faith that they may be given to look upon that precious mediator who so willingly has shed his blood, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. When that may take place, then it shall be true what I read in 1 Peter 2 verse 7, but unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Fathers and mothers, how goeth it with the oath? Does it bring you many times in your inner chamber? It is so necessary, indispensable, in these dark and solemn times, the oaths which we make, that they may be made in sincerity and in all seriousness, and to lay them before the Lord. Are we a separate people? May it please the God of all grace, in these solemn and serious times, under the judgments of the Lord, that the Lord may grant a rich ingathering, that it may be seen among our boys and our girls, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, the wonderful works of the Lord. You may sit down. We ask the congregation, while the children are being brought in, to sing from Psalter 425, the first stanza. Unto the Lord lift thankful voices, come worship while your soul rejoices. 425, the first stanza. O Wesley John, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Anthony Jacob, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now arise and sing of Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Let us now close with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, a King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Let us sing together of Psalter 415, the stanzas 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show Thy ways and teach Thou me, so that by Thy Spirit guided clearly I Thy paths may see and what follows. Psalter 415, the stanzas 2 and 4.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Matthew 28 and there of the 19th verse, where God's word and our text reads thus, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Our text words speak of Christ's royal commission to his disciples on a mountain in Galilee. With three thoughts in the first place, the commission's foundation. Secondly, the commission to teach. And thirdly, the commission to baptize. Christ's royal commission to his disciples on a mountain in Galilee. The commission's foundation, because our text words begin, Go ye, therefore. The commission to teach and teach all nations. And thirdly, the commission to baptize, baptizing them. Thus first, the commission's foundation. Beloved congregation, we read in these verses, the last verses of the Gospel of Matthew, that the Lord Jesus Christ had a special meeting with the 11 disciples on a mountain in Galilee. There are some that perhaps think it is possible that it was the same meeting as those 500 we read of in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. And nevertheless, it is clear that this commission was given to the 11. Then Christ, before he has died, in Matthew 26, verse 32, then he has already told his church that after he was raised from the dead, that he would meet them on a mountain in Galilee. Further, on the morning, or at least in Galilee, because it is not clear when Christ has specifically said exactly where he would meet. But that place of Galilee was specified, and that was repeated on the morning of the resurrection in Matthew 28, verse 7. Then the angels have said to the women that he would appear before them in Galilee. And that has been repeated by Jesus himself in Matthew 28, verse 7, when Jesus has met those women returning from the sepulcher. Then it is very well possible that in the furtherance of that day, in the evening, or one of the other times, it is not written, it is not so important, but that Christ has specified the place where he would meet the disciples in Galilee. Thus that means that it was a waiting church. And then surely, when the disciples have been told so specifically and different times that the resurrected Christ as the resurrected lion, that he would meet them in Galilee, that he had a very special message. How they must have waited, eagerly awaited for that time, because for the disciples, after Christ is resurrected, then everything has become so different. Before the death of Christ, then the disciples, the church, they usually knew where Jesus was. But now after the resurrection, it has become so different. And now we read, shall the Lord now say it to the church, that he will meet that church, and shall it then not take place? It is true. The way many times is tried, the Lord tries the faith of his children. It can go through such depth. They can be brought very low. They can be brought at their wits' end. But I read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that the Lord is faithful, who will not let his church be tried above that they are able to bear. And now in our text words, then the time has come. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee. Thus then, when we think of the disciples after their resurrection, they were in Jerusalem. Also 8 days later, when Thomas was present with them, but now in obedience to the word of their master, then they have went into Galilee, and now the time has arrived, thought to be not so long before the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Which mountain it was, not written in the scriptures, nevertheless, a mountain of seclusion. And on a mountain, then you can look in the distance. Undoubtedly, then the thoughts of the disciples have multiplied. When they have looked in the vicinity, perhaps those cities where he has done so many wonders, where the Lord has called them to be disciples on the Sea of Galilee, where the Lord has shown his power upon and his might, thus a special place, a place of seclusion and a place of reflection. And so parents, then in this morning, then you may be in God's house, and also much to reflect upon the past, what has taken place in this morning, and may you be given to take it home and lay it before the Lord and ask the Lord to magnify his free and sovereign grace. And now we read, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. What are we now to understand? The Lord has a people. They know what it is, what they're worshipping, that with their faith, that there can be so much doubt. There can be such weak faith. Think of that father in Mark 9, verse 24. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Then in the first place, then it is believed when we read they doubted, that they did not doubt that he had resurrected, but when he has appeared so suddenly and so unexpectedly, then there was a doubt whether it was truly him. And then we read that he has also come closer by. Then they were given to behold him clear. And then we read, thus in our text we have, go ye therefore. Thus that is the foundation of the commission of the disciples. And when we consider that commission of those disciples, that of course does not exclude fathers and mothers and teachers, and that includes all of us. But of course, this was a mission command, and in mission work, then a people first have to be taught. And now what an impossible task for those 11 disciples. Ah, they have showed it. They were feeble, they were frail. Ah, when they have arrested Christ, they have fled. Peter has denied him. Thomas full of unbelief. And now on this mountain of Galilee to receive such a weighty task. Oh, it is true, it was a beautiful task, but such an impossible task, because Jerusalem, that was full of enmity against Christ and against his disciples and against his followers, oh, what must those frail disciples, how must they now begin with that weighty commission to go into the world? Sinners fallen in Adam, full of enmity against God, against free and sovereign grace, against Christ. Oh, has Jerusalem not cried out, crucify him? How must it now ever be possible? Ah, then Christ and his loving kindness. Then concerning that commission, because we read in our text, go ye therefore. Then in the first place, that therefore, that rest upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the state of his humiliation, that he has paid the price, he has satisfied justice, but that therefore, that also rest upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as the Lion of Judah, that he is risen. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And in the state of his exaltation, then he shall apply that merited salvation for his people and for his church. Thus therefore, disciples, this not thy work, this not thy cause, this not thy glory, but therefore, because of that finished work, and now that precious mediator, that only name given under heaven, as I read in Acts 4, verse 12, no other name given under heaven, where we must be saved, that precious name of Jesus. It must be proclaimed to all the nations of the earth. Go ye therefore. But now also that therefore, that commission, that is in between two special proclamations and special promises. Because before that therefore, then we read in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And then go ye therefore. Oh, what an encouragement for those weak, those frail disciples with that heavy mandate that was laid upon their shoulders. Go ye therefore, disciples. Remember then, all power. Christ did not say much power, or most power, or much power under some circumstances, but all power in all circumstances in all times. What an encouragement for those disciples with that mandate, but also for fathers and mothers with their children. What a dark, what a serious, and what a solemn time we live in. We see the powers of the wicked one. They are becoming bolder and bolder. The enmity against God, against his word, his truth, and his people. Oh, then for parents. And how often they think, how much did now go with us? But before that teaching and that baptizing, a therefore, Christ has finished his work in the state of his humiliation. He continues his work in the state of his exaltation to apply that work. And although it can seem that there are times that the enemy seems to gain more and more the victory, no, then Christ says, all power is given unto me. Oh, that is a merited power. That is a power that the Father has given unto him. That is a power that has been promised upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, in this morning, in the midst of the mandate that the disciples have received, but therein also lies declared the responsibility for fathers and mothers. Oh, it can seem so impossible. But then Christ says in this morning, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Do I not read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? Oh, think on the day of Pentecost. Oh, all power, that is power over those triple-headed enemies. That is power over all circumstances. Go ye therefore. And then, after that mandate, a precious promise. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Thus how tenderly for those 11 disciples, what that impossible mandate. First, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And then secondly, all disciples, wherever you are, whether in prison, a faraway country, separated from loved ones, when you are so discouraged, uncomforted, cast down, where it seems that the enemies nearly can do what they want, oh, disciples, when it seems that you are plowing upon the rocks, when you do not see much, so much fruit, oh, even disciples, when you shall be placed on the stake, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our second thought, the commission to teach. Of course, this mandate was given to the disciples. But of course, in the church, when the church may be established, when the disciples, when they have instructed the people in that aforesaid doctrine, and they were baptized, then it was the duty of those that have been taught that they were given to instruct their children. So parents, then it is clear that our text words, although officially given to the disciples, that it applies to all of us. And now when we read, and teach all nations, then that word in the original, that actually means to make disciples, to make followers. Does not say make converts. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But we read in Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thus the command, the commission, that all nations would be taught. And in Luke 24, verse 47, there Christ has said he must begin at Jerusalem. and that repentance and remission of sin must be proclaimed to all people. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Thus the mandate officially to the disciples, but then in the midst of the church, then it is the mandate in the midst of the church, but then it extends to all of us. And when we consider the scriptures and the history of the church, then what an effort, what a diligence has been put forth that the upcoming generations may be instructed in that aforesaid doctrine. When we think of the scriptures, how many texts we have in the Bible where it is clearly mandated for fathers and mothers that they may instruct their dear children. In Exodus 12, with the Passover in verse 26, then the children were to ask the parents, what meaneth these things? And then the father's duty was to tell the children what a wonders the Lord has done, that he has taken them out of the land of Egypt with an outstretched arm. In Deuteronomy 6, the verses 6 through 9, there is spoken of the word of God, also spoken to parents, a word for our heart, a word for our children, a word for our life, and a word for our homes. In Psalm 78, the verses 4 through 7, that we must not hide them from generation to generation, showing to them the praises of the Lord and his wonderful works. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from the same. It was mandated to the leaders of the children of Israel, special occasions, that the law of God would be read. Josephus, he has written in a certain place that the Jewish nation has prided themselves that there was no other nation that has taken such an effort to instruct their children in the things of the Lord. In the Jewish Talmud, it says, what is commanded of the father to a son? And then there is written three special things. In the first place, to circumcise him. In the second place, to teach him the law. And in the third place, to teach him a trade. Oh, when it has been lively in the midst of the church, then the church have felt the weight thereof. Oh, the great responsibility. No, our forefathers, they had a deep impression that we cannot convert a single soul, but that it pleases the Lord to use his means. Oh, a Luther, a Calvin, that is why they have written a catechism. Think of the Westminster Assembly, which has gathered from 1643 to 1649. They have not only the larger catechism, but the smaller catechism. Oh, in former days, in the Scottish households, then there were so many boys and girls that have memorized that shorter catechism from the beginning to the end, and the Lord has blessed it to many a soul to that end. We have the Heidelberg Catechism in our Synod of Dort, which is gathered from 1618 through 1619, from November 13 to May 29. Then they have gathered 180 times. And then the first five gatherings, the credentials and the correspondence. the 6th through the 13th session concerning the translation of the Bible, and then the 14th through the 18th before they have considered the heir of Arminius. Then from the 14th through the 18th session, they have spoken of the instructions of the children and catechism instruction and our church order in number 21. There is spoken of good school teachers. Thus then we see the Bible, the history. What is stressed, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and when those nations have been taught, that mandate that is carried down to parents, to instructors, that the upcoming generation may be instructed in the things of the Lord. Let us mention a few things about America. The Pilgrims, they have come in 1620 in December. But that colony has not grown so quickly. But in 1630, the Massachusetts colony, under the able leadership of John Winthrop, they have come in 1630. And when you are an immigrant, then it takes a little while to get your feet on the ground, to be established. But those immigrants, then we read, 6 years later, in 1636, that Harvard College was instituted. Harvard has died. He has left his estate in books. Thus, 6 years later, a college. And what was the purpose of that college? To instruct young men that they may become ministers of the gospel. In 1642, the law required all parents to teach their children to read and write. In 1647, all towns over 50 families were required to build a school and hire a teacher to teach children to read and write. It was called the Old Deluder Satan Act, because Satan loves it when we are ignorant. I read in Hosea 4, verse 6, my people go lost because of lack of knowledge. In 1640, the first printing press and the first book, they did not have a license to print the Bible, but they have printed a book of Psalms so the families could sing. So then the Bible, the history, what an importance that the church has placed. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And the enemy also knows it. Because when we think in our day, our schools, colleges, universities, how the devil, the enemy, is using those institutions not to instruct out of God's word, but that the inhabitants, we see the fruit thereof in our day, that the inhabitants, that they may depart further and further from God's word. Luther has said, who has the youth, has the future. And Vladimir Lenin in Russia has said, give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. Thus go ye therefore and teach all nations, a missionary command, but for the established church, that command that applies to all of us. Who is sufficient unto these things? All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Thirdly, the commission to baptize. When we read, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that also implies that fathers and mothers, that they present their children for baptism. Because they read in Genesis 17, when the Lord has instituted circumcision, and then it is written that when a father and mother, when their little boy was not circumcised, then they have broken that covenant, and that people would be cut off from the congregation. Thus then it is clear when we consider the covenant, then we must consider it in a twofold aspect, because that covenant of grace which is made with the church all through Christ as the representative head, that can never be broken. Oh, that has its foundation in the electing love of the Father, the redeeming work of the Son, and the application of the Holy Spirit. Ah, that chosen church that shall be gathered. Oh, at the end there shall not be one missing. But now there is also an external administration of that covenant. And concerning that external administration, then we read in Genesis 17, but also in the book of the prophets, that there is a breaking of that covenant. And now concerning that baptism, then we read, baptizing them in the name of the Father. That little word in, that speaks of the authority, the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But we could also say, baptizing them into, because that word in verse 19, in the name of the Father, that is the same word in the original, in verse 16, into a mountain. Thus what we say, baptizing them into the name. Oh, what a riches lieth declared therein, that is into a relationship. And then externally already that is great. Oh, to be separated from all the peoples of the earth. Because in our confession of faith, in article number 35, there Gideon Debris has written, received into the church of God and separated from all people and strange religions, that we may wholly belong to him whose ensign we bear. Thus, when we consider that word into, that means devoted to his worship and service. Thus, the divine commission, when we repeat it in missionary work, first to teach and then to baptize, but in the established churches, then our children are baptized, and then we are called upon to instruct them. And now concerning that baptism, into the name of the Father, we have heard it from the form. He make an eternal covenant of grace with us, adopts us for his children, provide us with every good thing, avert all evil, turn it to our profit. Concerning the Son, that he washes us in his blood, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection. The Holy Ghost, that he assures us dwells in us and sanctifies us. Those are the riches that are declared with the sacrament of holy baptism, and now the necessity congregation for the irresistible and precious work of the Holy Spirit. Ah, that we are taught. Oh, it is our calling, fathers and mothers, to instruct our children about the necessity that we may be given to beg and to supplicate the Lord for His almighty grace, that it may be accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may learn what we miss. Ah, that the sacrament of holy baptism, it tells us that we are black, that we are vile, that we are unclean, that we are lost, that we are damn worthy. But oh, the sacrament also declares that there is a way for us and our children to be saved. Oh, therefore go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it is true, already a blessing outwardly. Do we not hear even of Balaam, when he has even seen the uttermost part of the camp? Then he had an impression that was already a blessed people. Oh, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Oh, then at Balaam, he even said in Numbers 23, verse 10, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be his. But oh, Balaam had not a desire to live with that people. Thus, congregation, when we have our text, oh, in the first place, the mandate for the disciples, but that mandate that carries through to us and our children. Oh, a dark and an evil time. The judgments of the Lord are heavy upon us. And for fathers and mothers, who is sufficient unto these things? But oh, that mandate, in the midst of that precious proclamation, unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth. Christ shall take care of his church. And then it is followed, oh, that to the end, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may it be for a little courage for us and our children in these dark and evil times. From self, no hope and no expectation. When we look at the circumstances, when we look at the world, then it looks so dark. But, our Lord, unto thy Son is given all power in heaven and upon earth. And now we humbly ask thee, stretch forth thy almighty arm, and may many sinners be rescued, may they be converted. Lord, wilt thou remember these fathers and mothers when they hope to return to their home with their little child, different than when they have come. With thy thrice holy name upon their little foreheads, Lord, may they be given to beg of thee, that thou may do for their little children what is signified in the sacrament. Watch over us in the furtherance of this day, grant traveling mercies, bring us under the means of grace by renewal in this afternoon hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 49, let us only sing 1 and 3. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. the first wedding announcement of Wayne Gerrit van der Breinhast and Tanya Elaine Beyer. A lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. There will be an Ascension Day service on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. And the church and school directories are at the exit, one per family, please. Psalter 49, the stanzas 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.